My guest at this time is Dr. Peter Pry. He is the Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, and he served on the Congressional Commission on Electromagnetic Pulse. And that's the subject we want to talk about today. Concerns continue to persist about the vulnerability of America's electrical grid and what can be done to shore it up against the potential threat posed by advanced technology. And Dr. Pry, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
There have been folks talking about this threat for a while now. I know your friend and colleague, Frank Gaffney, who's a friend of ours as well, has brought this issue to light for a number of years now. Given the advancements we've seen in technology, not only through the IT realm, but also in the military, how much greater is the threat of some sort of strike on our electrical grid through EMP or anything else than, say, it was a decade ago?
Oh, it's substantially greater. It is why Iran wants the bomb. We know that from the EMP Commission because in their open source military writings, they describe using a nuclear weapon to eliminate the United States as an actor from the world stage by means of an EMP attack. And let's not forget, just earlier this year, North Korea, you know, which has the bomb, and in fact we assess they probably have what are called super EMP nuclear weapons, which is a nuclear weapon specially designed to make the EMP effect, which is why their warheads are so yield. All three of their tests have been so low yield. They're designed to produce gamma rays, not a big explosion. It's the gamma rays that make the EMP effect. North Korea, in April, threatened to destroy the United States, threatened to make nuclear strikes against the United States. So, you know, the evidence is right there in the headlines if people would only pay attention to them. I would add that the EMP threat is the worst-case threat we're concerned about, but protecting the electric grid, if you protect it against EMP, you're also protected against all lesser threats, the kinds of things that tornadoes or hurricanes could do, sabotage, and cyber attacks as well. And this threat is so real, generic threats to the grid from terrorists, that on Sunday, when American Blackout was televised, the National Geographic documentary speculating about what a cyber attack would do to the American grid, that very morning, that Sunday morning just passed, a few days ago, terrorists in Mexico blacked out the electric grid in the Mexican province. It left 420,000 people powerless and 13 dead. So it's already happening.
Dr. Pry, obviously our grid extends from border to border and shore to shore. So are there specific spots where there are hubs that are the most vulnerable, or could the range on some of these potential weapons be enough to just take out huge swaths?
Well, if you're using a nuclear weapon, I mean, if you detonate it anywhere over the territory of the United States above 30 kilometers, it's basically going to cause at least the eastern grid to collapse, which is where 70% of our electricity is generated, and that would basically be it. You know, we can't survive without the eastern grid. If you detonated it over the center of the United States at an altitude of 400 kilometers, you'd put an EMP field down over the whole country, and that would collapse all the grids. This could be done with a freighter launching a medium-range missile from the Gulf of Mexico. We actually saw Iran practice doing that. They practiced launching their Shahab-3 medium-range missile and fusing it to the altitudes consistent for an EMP attack over the United States. The reason you do that is, in addition to not needing an ICBM, an intercontinental missile, it keeps your fingerprints off the attack. You know, it could be anybody, Paris, North Korea, Russia, or China. Because the bomb, there is no bomb debris when it detonates in outer space. The missile was destroyed by the fireball, and if you're doing it from a freighter and not from your territory, in the aftermath of an EMP attack that would damage our national technical means and our intelligence, you know, we might never know who hit us.
And you're confident that both Iran and North Korea's nuclear programs are designed to achieve this?
Well, yes. This is not my opinion alone, the EMP Commission's opinion alone. We were told by Russian generals back in 2004 that the secret of the super EMP weapon had leaked to the North Koreans, and they estimated that within a few years they would be able to develop such a weapon. And then, lo and behold, a few years later, they had their first test, and the signature of that test is consistent. South Korean military intelligence has arrived at the same conclusion independently, and last year a spokesman for the Chinese military said that North Korea has got super EMP weapons. As for Iran, You know, when they write about doing it, and then we see them doing missile exercises that are consistent with the EMP attack, it's pretty overwhelming evidence. And if you're not worried about Iran or North Korea, one does have to worry about the sun, which can't be deterred, because the sun can cause a catastrophic natural EMP event by means of a solar flare that would strike the magnetosphere. In some respects, even worse than a nuclear EMP attack, because something like the 1859 Carrington event, if it happened again today, you know, would be a worldwide phenomenon. It would collapse electric grids all over the planet and put billions of lives at risk.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Pry, Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, and he's also served on the Congressional EMP Commission. Sir, a couple of quick questions. A lot of us remember the major East Coast blackout of 2003, and there were a myriad of calls at that time to do something to modernize and update the grid. I certainly haven't heard anything about that. Was that largely just ignored, or have there been efforts to upgrade it?
It was ignored. The problem in our story, well, it brings us to the sort of the bad guy. And why is Washington so broken that we can't accomplish this? It's called the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC, which is supposed to be the reliability organization. They're the ones that were supposed to do something about that. Do you know, it wasn't until last year that the reason the 2003 blackout happened was because of a falling tree branch. Our grid is so fragile that a falling tree branch, if it hits in the wrong place, it can cause a multi-state blackout. So the bad guys see that, by the way, and so they can see that, well, obviously, if a falling tree branch can cause the 2003 Northeast blackout, just imagine what a nuclear EMP attack could do. But the NERC took 10 years. It wasn't until last year that they actually introduced a plan to improve their vegetation plan for protecting the power lines from tree branches. NERC doesn't answer to anybody. There's no government oversight over it. It answers to the industry, and they have an extremely bad track record about doing anything. And there is no legal authority among any part of the government to compel them to do anything, which is what the SHIELD Act was about. This is a bipartisan bill supported by both Democrats and Republicans, but it, too, has been stuck. It would empower the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to make the NERC finally do the right thing in terms of protecting the grid from EMP, from falling tree branches, from sabotage, from cyber, and they're not doing anything against any of those things. On occasion, what they'll do is public relations campaigns largely. For example, NERC has got this exercise that's going to happen in November called GridX2, which is supposed to show that they're on the job and they're, you know, but tabletop exercises are not the same thing as actually spending the resources that are necessary to protect the electric grid. They aren't doing anything. Which is one of the reasons I'm on my show, on your show, because I would appeal to your audience not to wait on Washington. We are at reaching out to the states. The states, all the solutions don't have to come from Washington. States can launch their own state initiatives. You can island the state grid so that it would be protected from EMP, and this would not prevent the state from receiving power or exporting power to any other state. And it would help neighboring states if one state were able to survive, because nothing's harder than a black start. If you have one state with the lights still on, it can help bring everybody else back. We've had one success so far. The state of Maine has actually decided not to wait on Washington. They've passed a bill, LD 151, and they are actually going to move forward, and they're going to protect the electric grid in the state of Maine from EMP, which will also protect it against all these other threats that we've been talking about. That's a sad commentary on how broken Washington is, and I'm kind of embarrassed to have to say it since I'm a creature of Washington myself. But after trying for half a decade to get a bill through to protect the national electric grid, we feel we have no choice but to go to the people and say and tell them, look, you're at risk. This is a serious problem. It's so serious, you know, that you should look to your state to try to work with the Public Utilities Commission to protect your state grid. If we have to do it state by state, that, I guess, is what we're going to have to do.
Very quickly, and you've obviously discussed it to some extent in the answer you just gave us, but a real quick punch list, what needs to be done to protect us from EMP?
Well, the technology has been around for 50 years because the Department of Defense developed technologies like Faraday cages, surge arresters, and blocking devices to protect military systems from EMP. they're not very expensive. The commission estimated that for a one-time investment of $2 billion, you know, we could protect the whole national grid from EMP. So it'll obviously be much less on a state level. You know, you'd be talking about millions of dollars at a state level. $2 billion, by the way, is what we give to Pakistan every year at foreign aid. You know, so this is affordable. And I also think it would be good for the economy of a local state. You know, a lot of industries, international industries, as well as domestic industries and businesses are very concerned about energy security because of the cyber threat. Well, if you're protected against EMP, if you're EMP hard, you're also protected against the cyber threat to the grid as well. And you can offer energy security, a competitive, it would give your state a competitive advantage over other states.
Dr. Pry, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for giving me a podium to discuss this esoteric but vitally important subject.
Dr. Peter Pry, Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He served on the Congressional EMP Commission. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.